right, let's all stand together tonight, if you would. I'm going to try to get this mic fixed here a minute. The Bible said in the last days there'd be wires and rumors of wires. So let's see what I can do. You see some guy looking at his wife and say, "Honey, what is that? I didn't see that verse." All right. Amen. You leaving now? You going to come down? Are you? Is it hot up there? Is it? All right, come on. Amen. It's good to be back at Crossroads Baptist Church tonight. Thank you so much for the invitation to be back with you. And been a beautiful day. Thank the Lord for a beautiful day. I don't know how it's been up here, but hallelujah, a few days without it pouring down rain. Boy, I'm enjoying that. Amen. And I'm glad that we could come tonight and hear such good singing tonight. Amen. And boy, I tell you what, these young men, I'm telling you, I hope when I get to heaven, the Lord gives me a glorified body, I'll be able to sing like that. I mean, I do. I just hope. I hope your glorified body, I want to sit beside a Fanny Crosby and sing. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And I want to sing it good. Amen. And I sing it now, but I want to sing it good. Right? I tell people all the time about singing. I got it in me. I just have a tough time getting it out. Right? Somewhere from, well, I don't know. I guess my heart to my lips, it don't seem wanting to do right. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Fellas, thank y'all for being with us tonight. Miss Eva and your precious friend there. Can't remember the name, but we'll call her Dolores anyway. Thank you for being with us tonight. And good number. Glad you're here. And I trust tonight that God will help us. Want to thank you real quick, Pastor, for the wonderful place to stay. A lot of times I take my camper with me when my wife travels sometime. Just finished a meeting in Florida a few weeks ago, and she went down with me there, and we took it. And I love coming up here, staying down at Loyston Point. And this morning I woke up to bass boats running across the water and the birds singing and nice breeze. And then I went in the woods and rode 20 miles on a bicycle and enjoyed that. And came back and ate a ham sandwich. You just can't beat that. Amen. But anyway, preacher, thank you so much. Nice of you to get that for me, and I appreciate that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tonight. I want to look at two verses from the Word of God this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Now, I want to say something about Thursday night. Unless the Lord changes my mind, I'm going to preach a message Thursday night that the Lord gave me when I was walking through a Dollar General a little while ago. And it's unusual. It's illustrated. And it's really different. It is really me, to be honest. And that is either good or bad. But anyway, something I saw in that place, and I'll use Bible, but something I saw in that place stirred my heart. And I'll share it with you on Thursday night, Lord willing, when the Parkhead family's singing, and I'll preach it. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. It's different. And if I tell you what it's about, then the Lord will change my mind, and we'll all miss out. Amen? And so we'll just wait and see what happens. Verse 33, 1 Corinthians 15, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." I want to preach tonight on a subject that I believe is not only just for a young person, but I also believe is for every adult. And I believe it is so important that we hang around the right people. You have heard the statement before, you are what you eat. I don't know if I really believe that, because if I did, I'd be a big M&M. Say amen right there. But anyway, I do want to say, and I mean this tonight, that sometimes in our life we can get around people that can either make good or bad influences in our life. I want to preach tonight on the subject of bad company. Bad company. Let's bow together and pray. Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege, the honor, and the joy that we have to be at the Crossroads Baptist Church here, Lord, Knoxville, Tennessee, Lord, in this area of this state, God, where so much good preaching goes on. Thank you, Lord, tonight for Pastor and his precious wife and family. And I pray you'll bless Brother Dixon greatly. Lord, I thank you tonight for the privilege that I have to stand in this pulpit, and I do not take it lightly. Thank you tonight for those that have made their way out to the service, the preachers, the visitors. Thank you, Lord, for them coming tonight. Lord, I pray that you clothe me in my calling and give me tonight for God's people what's needed for this hour. We'll thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Christ's name. And all God's people said, you can be seated tonight. I want to begin to share a little bit with you tonight, if I could, about this chapter of the Word of God. It's an interesting verse. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And I'll say more about those words in here in just a moment. But I think about life, and I don't know about you, but every day of my life, I strive to be a better Christian. I strive to be better for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I fail God so many times. So many times in my life, I fail the Lord and I come up short. And I find myself many times literally having to say, Lord, it's me again, and I'm sorry, and I should have done better, and I should have thought better, and I should have had a better attitude, or whatever it might be. And many times in my life, I find myself failing God. No doubt if you were honest tonight, you do as well. I'm not saying that we have to, but I'm saying that many times that we do. Tonight, as you think about this verse, I want you to think about temptation for just a moment. Then I'm going to move off of that. But I want you to think about the Bible when it says these words in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, just a few chapters back in your Bible. The Bible says, there have no temptation taken you, but just such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. What is the Word of God saying? Here's what God's Word is saying. You can never wear a t-shirt. You can never wear a bumper sticker that says, the devil made me do it. Friend, if you are a child of God, if you are washed in the blood of Christ, you have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, and the devil can't make you do anything. If you do anything, you do it on your own volition. It is not the devil. It is our flesh that lets us down tonight. Now, I want to say real quickly, I know there's a part of me that cannot sin. I realize there's a new man living on the inside. Thank God for that. But I also realize I'm still clothed in this robe of flesh. And I'm glad one day we'll take this old robe of flesh off. And I'm glad one day we'll have to worry about ever failing the Lord again. But when you think about the experience of temptation, the Bible says it's common to every man. When you think about the extent of temptation, it says you can go through God's help. You can say no. You can stand strong. You can live for God. When you think about the escape of temptation, I'm glad that God always provides a door. And He always, always gives us a way out. Matter of fact, a verse that is taken out of context and misquoted many times with good intentions, it's a verse where people say, well, God will never put more on you than you're able to bear. Now, that's a great verse. And listen, but I've had a whole lot more on me in my life than I could bear. It took the Lord to get me through it. See, that verse has to do with the trials and with temptation, and that God will always make a way of escape. Now, I want to get to where I'm preaching tonight, and you hold on. If you know me well, I'm not going to be long, so you hold on, and I want to give you this tonight. I want to share with you something, and this has bothered me for a long time. I think probably, I've been pastoring over 34 years of my life, and probably this is one of the things that has bothered me as much as anything, and I just want to share this tonight. I want you to understand tonight that it seems for some reason that a whole lot of good eggs left to live and get around rotten eggs. Now, I've never understood it. It seems like, and I deal with a lot of young people, and it seems like sometimes that a lot of good young people seem to be drawn to those that don't live for God. And it seems like sometimes people in church are drawn to people that just don't live like they ought to live. If they ain't careful, and the preacher will have to preach and tell them how they need to get some things right with God, and then those other people will become sympathizers and say, why is the preacher being so rough on you? But the truth is, we've got to be careful who we hang around. We got to be careful what we do. We got to be careful that we are around the right people in our lives. Do you realize how important it is to be around the right people in your life? Amen. Can I tell you this? I love everybody. I love everybody that goes to my church. I do. But there's some of them I'm not going to hang out with. I'm going to tell you why. I'm depressed enough, man. There are people, and you men of God know what I'm talking about. There are people that never had a good day. They have never had a blessing. I mean, every time you talk to them, you spend about 10 to 15 minutes with them. Lord, have mercy, you feel like you need to go back and get saved again. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, I like to be around people that are excited about God, excited about the Lord, around people that are glad to go to church. People like David that said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hey, we ought to get excited, but we ought to get around people that are excited about the Lord. Amen. But if you serve God long enough, you will run into bad company. The Bible says evil communications. Listen, I want you to get a few things with me tonight. The first thing I want you to notice, and I'll give you this outline for the sake of an outline tonight. The first thing I want you to notice is this: bad company will fool you. Now stay with me. The Bible says in three verses of verse 33, be not deceived. Bad company will fool you. Many times what looks good outwardly is rotten to the core inwardly. And you have to realize that many times people will get around your life that you think they are one way, but they are another way. And they get around your life. And if you're not careful, bad company can deceive you in your life. I tell my parents in my church all the time, just because somebody goes to Calvary, just because your kids like them in super church or like them in the youth department, I tell them all the time, I say to them, hey, listen, don't just send your youngins home with anybody. You need to find out what their home is like. You need to find out what they're watching. You need to find out what they're doing. You say, why? Because sometimes things can look good on the outside and seem okay on the outside, but inside it is not the same. Don't let bad company deceive you. Tyler, and even miss a lot of you young people sitting here tonight. Just because somebody looks good on the outside, knows how to tote their Bible, knows the right words to say, be very careful. Because I'm telling you, I see more people that are good Christian people that get deceived, not expecting to be deceived, but they get deceived by bad company. Listen, bad company will fool you. Don't you understand that? Boy, I remember, and I will say this to help any of you guys called to preach that sung tonight. You guys, all three of you are. I want to say this. I remember when I started out, Brother Dixon, been a good while ago, God called me to preach one Sunday after I got saved. I got saved on a Sunday night at Altamaha Hall Baptist Church in a little mill town in North Carolina. I got saved halfway down the aisle, never made it to the preacher. I called on God to save me. I didn't go down to Romans Road, I-85, I-77, or I-295. I just came through the blood of the Lamb of God. But I want you to notice, boy, after I got saved, 1 week later, I'm telling you, I was standing in the choir in a Baptist church and God spoke to my heart and God called me to preach. I've been doing it ever since. But I want you to watch this. I remember after I got saved, boy, I began to start hanging around some preachers that wanted to be a blessing to me, wanted to be a help to me. And you know, as long as I was working in that mill and I was going to Bible college and pastoring that little church of 20 people, son, they loved me to death. But then when that church began to grow and people began to get saved and God began to do a work, all of a sudden it wasn't long. Well, I wonder what he's doing over there. How in the world is he bringing people in? Hey, I'll tell you how we were bringing them in. We were knocking on 200 doors a day, telling people about Christ, having a church with a spirit in it where people could worship. But I began to get around some bad company. Now watch. I'll never forget, after 14 years of pastoring my first church, I resigned that church and found myself in evangelism. There was no problem in the church. The church was doing well. It's doing well to this day. Brother Cook's doing a wonderful job there. But for 14 years, I pastored that church, and then I went to evangelism. I had one meeting in California, and I had one other meeting, and that was it. Nothing, nowhere, no income, nothing. I'll never forget, I was asked to preach in a large preacher's conference. I went and I pretty much knew the preachers that were going to be in that meeting, and I knew what they liked to hear. Be not deceived. So I went in and I preached everything I knew they would like to hear. Rough. Some in the Bible, some nowhere near the Bible. I got done preaching. Got pats on the back. Great job. Wonderful. I'll never forget this. I walked out with my love offering in my pocket and I sat down in the car. It was not audible. But the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart, and here's what he said. Good job. If you ever need me, let me know. I will never forget that in my life. You know what God was saying to me? I don't want you to be bad company. I don't want you to be a deceiver. You go preach the Word of God. You let the Word of God do the work. You let the Word of God get it done. I don't need you to be somebody else. I need you to be who I called you to be. And God said, that's the way it's got to be. Amen. So I made up my mind that I would identify my ministry from then on with the word real. I am just who I am. Amen. You say, preacher, what happens if people don't like who you are? I'll go ride my dirt bike, my bicycle, and it'll be all right to Sunday. Amen. Listen. Bad company will fool you. Be careful who comes into your life. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Number two, bad company will find you. Bad company wants friends. Remember the statement, misery loves company. Have you ever noticed when people are miserable, the thing that just helps them is hopefully you'll be miserable with them? Amen. I mean, I'll be honest. I'll never forget. I probably shouldn't share stuff like this. My wife's home watching right now on the internet. She's thinking, oh, Lord. I'll never forget. I was in church. I can't remember Brother Dick some years ago. And the preacher, after service, it was tight. Service wasn't that great. It was tight, and you know, and people just looked at, you know, like y'all tonight, you know, y'all are fellowshipping as folks I've seen in my life. But I mean, people were shaking hands and fellowshipping and enjoying, you know, here tonight. But it wasn't kind of like that. So at the end of the service, and I never offer any kind of advice to anybody because I'm there just to preach and go to the house. It's not my church. I don't pastor Brother Dixon's church. He don't pastor mine. And so, you know, I just go preach. Anyway, the pastor come up to me and he said, Brother Hazlett, can you tell me what's wrong with the church? Well, I knew a little bit. I said, Brother, I you don't want me to answer that. I'm not. He said, oh yeah, you can be honest. I want to know what do you think? He said, we got the right standard. We got the right conviction. We got the right Bible. We got the right music. I said, you got every bit of it. I said, I agree. He said, well, you see what's wrong? I said, well, I've noticed it. And I didn't want to say it because I knew I'd never be back. And he said, what is it? And I said, you. He said, what do you mean? I said, not that you're a bad person. You're a good man of God. But Lord have mercy, you don't act like you're even excited to be here. It's like the first Baptist of the Deep Freeze, pastored by Jack Frost. Amen. I mean, can I say this to you tonight? Brother Dixon, you know this. How in the world can we expect people that are sitting in our pews to get excited about God if we can't even get excited about God ourselves from the pulpit? Right? Bad company will find you. Don't worry about being holier than thou art. Somebody will find you. I want to give you a statement I read, and I put in the notes of my message, I think just for me probably, but for anybody. And I can't remember exactly the author. I think I know the author I was reading after. But I ran across this statement. Are you listening? How bad company will find you. Listen to this. It's better to be mocked than defiled. Wow. It's better to be mocked than defiled. Now Miss Eve will tell you, she's heard this kind of preaching her entire life, sitting under my ministry at Calvary. And I want to say this to you tonight. I guard as a pastor my church. I guard my young people. I'm going to tell you why. Because bad company will find you. Right? And can I just get on something here that just aggravates the snot out of me? Now, North Carolina, it's okay to say snot. For you up here, maybe mucus. Drainage for us is just flat out boogers and snot. You boys from up north now, just hang in. What is it about these young boys coming to my church and getting my girls? And marrying them and taking them somewhere else. I'm going to tell you right now, I said, look, we got to find some boys that look good. We got to get them in here. Y'all got to like them and marry them and stay here. I'm telling you, man. Praise God, I've done lost. Listen, I lost her sister. She's playing piano. Matter of fact, they're going to Washington, D.C. as missionary. The gall of her going into missions when I wanted to keep her to church. Then her other sister, another piano player, another singer, she got around bad company. God called that boy to preach. Now he's serving God and she's going with him. I know what'll happen. Eve will meet somebody. Preacher, I was coming home, but I ain't going to be able to come home now. I done fell in love. I just wish God hadn't gave me so many ugly boys in my church. I'll be honest with you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Listen, I'm telling you, if you looked at my youth choir, it's some of the prettiest little girls you ever seen, but them boys is ugly. I'm just kidding, having a little fun with you. Sometimes you need a smile on Tuesday night. But I was saying, some of y'all are like, this guy's crazy. If you ain't figured that out yet, stay with me through the week. You'll figure that out. Can I say this? Listen, bad company will find you. Let me say something to you, and I know you guys have been, y'all been friends since what, high school, even before, and all the way up now in college. You guys, are y'all engaged, married, divorced, looking to be married or divorced, anything yet? Looking to be, listen, be careful. Oh, married, okay. Are you done now? You finished? Okay. He's looking like, I don't know how to take it. I'm just having fun, man. It's all good, all right? Tell Brother Sexton, it's all good, all right? Hey, I want you to watch it. You called to preach, right? And then you played the piano like that. Wasn't that good? God's got somebody for you. But I'm going to tell you this. And Brother Dixon, you understand what I'm saying? Be careful. Because bad company will find you. You got to wait on that person that God wants in your life. You know what I'm talking about. You got to wait on that person because bad company will find you. It's better to be an old maid or an... What do you call an old guy that never gets married if it ain't an old maid? What is it? Old what? Old codger. There you go, old codger. I don't know what, but I'd rather be that. Listen, how many men in the ministry, how many got in and somebody... It breaks my heart when I get a call and somebody says, preacher, pray for so-and-so. His wife just decided she don't want to be a preacher's wife anymore. Can I say this? It's a tough deal too, guys. Always in the limelight. People are always watching. You can't hardly make mistakes. I mean, it's tough to be a pastor's wife. But I won't say this to you. Bad company will find you. They'll find you at church. They'll find you on the internet. They'll find you in school. They'll find you on the job. I'm trying to help you tonight. Amen. So you go to Crossroads Baptist Church, or if you go to a good church, and you're around good preaching, you're around this dear man of God's your pastor, and he gives you the right things, and you know the right things. Don't let people come into your life and mess that up. They'll try to find you. They'll try to find you. You guys are this great talent you have, and God calling you to preach and got this in front of you if the Lord doesn't come. Number one, watch now. Bad company will fool you. Number two, bad company will find you. Number three, I want you to listen. Bad company will corrupt you. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications, watch what it says, corrupt good manners. If you want to have character and keep your virtue, be careful of the company you keep. Wouldn't it be a shame for somebody that goes to Crossroads Baptist Church, a Sunday school teacher, a leader? Say, preacher, why in the world would you preach this kind of message in a revival? Let me tell you why. I go to churches, I'm privileged sometimes, Brother Dixon's had me to come a few years in a row, and I'm privileged sometimes to get to go to churches several years in a row. And when I go to those churches, I tell everybody I'm the 911 guy. It's when they call the preachers that preach everywhere and them guys are booked, they'll say, well, maybe Brother Hazelp ain't doing nothing. So I'm the 911 guy. They call me. But I want you to watch. I preach this because I go back to churches, Pastor Dixon, and I ask a pastor, where's so-and-so, man? They used to sing specials. Where's that guy that every year, man, he'd come by and he'd bring me, you know, something, or he'd say, preacher, great to have you. I always had a good spirit. Where's he at? Yeah. Well, preacher, he got around some wrong people. Yeah. Got to hanging out with some folks with a bad attitude. Yeah. He left us and don't go to church with us anymore. Yeah. That's why I'm preaching it. Can I tell you what your pastor needs tonight? Your pastor needs you to hang around the right people. Don't get around people in your church that are billy goat Christians. Don't get around people in your church that, I love my pastor, but I love that music, but amen. Because when you get around people like that, if you're not careful, they'll corrupt you. Amen. Now I'm just trying to help you. I don't know a thing about the church besides Brother Dixon's the pastor of it, and that's his wife, and there's the kids, and that's about all I know. And y'all have good food that I can't eat because I can't eat before I preach. but my camper will be here Friday, and I will eat it. Hallelujah. If I have to go lay down, I will eat it. But I want you to listen to me. Don't let the devil corrupt you putting bad people around your life. I like surrounding myself with people that have a good spirit. Amen. Good attitude. You ever meet anybody in college that has a bad spirit? You ever met one of them? You ever met them people said, I always feel bad when I feel good because I know I'm going to feel worse? You ever met somebody like that? Yeah. And now the blondes come in. No, I'm just kidding. Understand tonight that evil communications corrupt good manners. I've seen really good people. This is revival week. I'm going to give a statement to you that I preach this. And I know y'all hear me say a lot about young people. I preach a lot to young people for some reason. I don't know why, but I still go preach to young people. But I want you to listen to this, and I think it'll help you. I tell people about relationships, and this can go whether you're a young person or it can go whether you're whatever relationship. Maybe you're, you know, or still looking relationship, whatever. Any relationship you get in, if it doesn't make you better for Christ, it's not of God. That can be friendships. We'll get back to shouting tomorrow now. Just stay with me. Because here's my deal. Pastor, good churches like Crossroads. And I mean that. I'm not saying that to get a meeting. I'm not saying he's my friend. But I'm not here because he's my friend. But I want you to understand, I'm not saying any of that for any reason. But listen, I go to places that at one time had a testimony. But Muffy, you know what I'm talking about. You guys have been in them. You've done ventriloquism. That's a hard word for me to say. That puppet dude, you know. But anyway, I know puppet dude, right? But anyway, you've seen it. You go back and something just don't seem right. So you got to make sure you surround yourself with the right kind of people. For all you young people here tonight, find some young people in your church and find some young people you like that love the Lord. Amen. Find some that want to serve God. They don't have to be a weirdo. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can, some people think, well, if I got to hang out with the church kid, it must be some weirdo. No. Did you know you can still have fun, be saved? Right? You don't have to live your life like you're sucking lemons and drinking prune juice all day. It's a joy to serve God, man. What a joy it is to serve God. Amen. Just listen to me tonight. It's just what I felt like I've had on my heart today. Got up this morning, prayed and said, Lord, I want to have the right message. And I switched 5 times on the way over here and 3 times on the front row and right back to what I started praying about this morning. And here's the deal. I want you to be sure at 8:03, by that clock anyway, on Tuesday night, that you surround yourself with the right people in your life that'll make you something for God. Now, I'm going to say this. I surround myself with the right preachers. I love men of God, but I love men of God who love Jesus. I'm not interested in being around people that sign their own Bibles. That think too highly of themselves. See, I know where I came from, Brother Dixon. I know what I am. I know how quick I could fail. And I'm telling you, I surround myself with people that are just real. Amen? Just real. Tyler, you in your first year of college this year? Some of y'all now, you got them babies, grandbabies, preacher. Your son right now, if I'm not mistaken, is Citadel, am I right? Think about all the people that are trying to get around his life. And I know he's a strong Christian young man. I met him. But you think about all that influence that are trying to get around his life. I'll say this and I'll quit. I'll be done here about 2 minutes. One of the hardest things I ever did in my life was drop my daughter off in college. I'm going to tell you why. And you know, you're welcome to have an opinion about this. It's okay, but it is what it is. I'll be nice. It is what it is. My daughter went to a secular college. My daughter went on a golf scholarship. She was a junior golfer and ended up learning the game very well, and she went to play college golf. And it's a small university, but I knew the hardest ride of my life was the day home from that college, because I kept thinking, Lord, am I messing up? She's been raised in church, homeschooled, loved God, been around God. And Lord, what's going to happen to her if she gets around the wrong people? Her mama looked at me and said to me, look, she won't get around the wrong people. She said, you've raised her around that Bible. You've raised her right. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. My wife lied. You know how I know she lied? She married a Yankee. Help me now, boys. Y'all can smile. Rochester, New York. I mean, that's Yankee. She married a Yankee. She's in a mixed marriage. Southern girl, Yankee boy. Some of y'all up north going, I don't like that preacher. I'm just having fun, okay? I mean, if you that messed up, take a Bayer. It'll be okay. It's not that big of a deal. I'll never forget, though, when she met him, he wasn't saved. And she told him pretty much flat out, you know, I can't date you. I can't relation with you. And she told him, my dad's a pastor. I go home on the weekends, go to church, and live about an hour. She's about an hour away from school. Anyway, but she witnessed to him, which is good. During Christmas break, my daughter gets a call from that young man. And he says to her, Danielle, something just happened to me. He said, I've been thinking about what you've been saying about getting saved in Jesus, and I just got down beside my bed and asked the Lord to save me. Well, my first thought would be this. He's saying that so he can get to date my daughter. Some of y'all done thought it. Oh, I thought, listen, I got that quick. So he comes back to school, and I told her, I said, we'll see if he's saved or not. And I'm going to tell you the truth. It wasn't long. I told her one day, I said, I think he's a better Christian than you are. I baptized him, and when the bubble started, I let him up. I'm quitting. The day he married my daughter, I had no problem. Because I knew besides Jesus and obviously me, he was the best thing that ever happened in her life. I mean, dads can relate to that with your daughters. Amen. Baby, I say I will always be the first man you ever loved. What I'm trying to say is, make sure you guard what you're going to do with your life. Amen. Amen, Missy. They'll try to find you, won't they, sweetie? Me and Miss Eva could sit down and talk to you. We won't, but we could have the devil try to find you. He'll try to mess up your life if he can. I'm talking about good, godly kids. Send the wrong people. Send the wrong person around you at work. Send the wrong person around you on that job. You be careful. Let's stand our feet tonight. Father, I want to thank you for the wonderful liberty to preach the Word of God tonight. Lord, the devil can't get our soul. We are saved. But Lord, he sure would like to get our testimony. Lord, I'm sure that people around hearing what God's doing at Crossroads Baptist Church and God, how you blessed this ministry and this pastor and maybe other churches represented here tonight, how you blessed them. But I also know that bad company listens. And many times, they try to hurt us. God, help us to be very aware of what's around us. And help us, Lord, to make sure that we guard our testimony. God, thank you tonight for the great liberty to preach. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Look at me just a moment. How many of you are moms and dads here tonight? How many of you have grandchildren? It's amazing how those hands go up a little happier than the first one. Amen. How many of you want them to make good decisions and not the wrong people get around their lives? Am I right? We're going to give an invitation. Our brother's going to sing. Maybe you got somebody you'd like to pray for tonight. You know, Miss Eva, your sisters have done well. Miss Alicia married Brother Aaron. They're missionaries to Washington, D.C. They literally have an open door to get into the Capitol to talk to senators about Christ. Miss Victoria just had a baby. And did they tell you how bad I was when she came in that first Sunday? I cried like I was her grandpa when I saw her having that baby. She lives in Florida now. Her husband serves God, sings, preaches. That's an important thing. Miss Eva, your parents are praying for you. God put the right person in your life. But I wonder tonight if you got somebody on your heart. Maybe you just want to say, Lord, please surround them with the right people. Don't let them get sidetracked. Maybe even tonight you're thinking, Lord, help me to make the right decisions in my life of who I'm around. And I believe you will. I believe you will. What's your son's name, brother?
Joshua.
Joshua was raised to serve God, wasn't he? To live for God. If he serves our country, I say that's wonderful. But he still serves God first. And you never want the wrong person to ruin that. You love your children, Brother Dixon. That 1 year old you've gotten a little over a year. I remember when you told me you guys were expecting it. And now, look at it, a little over a year, here you go. Won't be long. It won't be long. You'll be as miserable as I am and they'll be gone. Break your heart because they leave you. Not really. Anyway, that's another message. But you know, it's important. I think I preach right tonight. Amen. I want to be a blessing to you because, listen, I want you to succeed and be great for God. Just don't let them weaselly little bad company. Amen. So he's going to sing. What number are you doing, brother? 366. You got somebody tonight you want to pray a hedge around? You got some on your heart tonight you want to come and talk to God about? Listen, it don't take but one bad decision. One bad decision. Just sing it for me, friend. Preacher, I believe that. I believe you got to get around the right people. Amen, young man. Amen, young lady. Yes, yes. Pray God to help you get around the right people. Oh, bless his name tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes.
word, Lord, and the truth of it, Lord. We ask that you just protect us, Lord, guard us, Lord, from those bad company, Lord, those people that are around us, Lord, that would lead us in the wrong way. Lord, we ask that you would just protect our lives, protect our children, Lord.